that does.
I like how you said it sounds fine before I even fucking hit the button.
Dude, well, that's how good I am.
Like, that's a lot of fucking confidence. Did you hear that, Charlie?
Yeah. That okay. I thought it was feedback.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 47 for Saturday, the 5th of September, 2015. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and that douche right there that just got hired, that's Kent.
Douche? Like, really? Anyway, hey, how's it going, guys?
You're now making like twice what I'm making, plus, if you count child support into that, you're making like five times what I'm making. Because holy shit.
Okay, well, all right. Well, that might be an exaggeration, but yeah.
No, probably not. All right, man. We got an old-time homie with us tonight.
Yeah, what's up, Charlie?
How's it going, guys?
Holy shit, man. Long time no see. It's been, what, like 5 years or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, welcome to Ritual Misery, man. Glad to have you.
The last time that I was with Amos... we went to the drag show.
Yes.
It was a blast.
Bitchy.
And he got on stage and did the electric slide.
Whoa! What? Okay, yeah, I don't know if I heard this story.
Yeah, there's actually
I have a video of it.
Oh, we might have to upload that to our Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/ritualmisery.
Yeah. That was good times. That's that whole weekend, man. That was a lot of drinking, a lot of stories, a lot of catching up, and man, good times.
It was fun. It was a blast.
Yeah, that was during my my 10-day road trip from Louisiana to Arizona via every state but Texas.
Man, all that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Carolina to Indiana to Missouri to Colorado to California to Arizona. Yeah.
Man, so
pretty crazy.
Amos, when did you meet Charlie?
I'm sure we met before that, but the first time I actually had dealings with Charlie was in home ec class in ninth grade. We were the only two dudes in there.
Oh, that's right.
The one. Yeah, that's the one.
Well, I've known Charlie for almost my entire
helped raise
life.
We helped raise each other's eggs in flour bags.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie's actually one of my longest-term friends. We haven't been the closest of pals over the years, but I would say that it's fair to say that we've been friends for close to 35 years ish.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, because I think we were in kindergarten together. We've been to, you know, like birthday parties and all kinds of crap since we were little.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys were in
second grade. With the nuclear snot explosion when you just blew it all over. That was amazing. I mean, I can't believe it actually had a name.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, you know, the name came from a Garbage Pail Kids card.
Ah.
Do you remember the Garbage Pail Kids stickers?
Of course. Yeah.
I think that was the name of one of the Garbage Pail Kids, or an event card or something. I don't remember what they – it's been so long since I've seen a Garbage Pail Kid. But yeah, it was like the nuclear snot explosion. So basically what happened, I'm standing in line. I think, what, recess had just gotten over and we're getting ready to go back inside
or
something?
So. Yeah, we weren't all sitting down yet.
Right. Yeah. So I had to sneeze. And this is, you know, second grade, I think. Second or third grade.
As I know it, I'm just going to interject here real quick. As I know it, Kent has this fucking amazing nose. This nose, like, whether or not he's having an allergy attack or whether or not it's allergy season or if there's something, whatever, his nose at any given time can just cop a fucking attitude and piss him right the hell off. Like, so, and I know that when he blows his nose, it's like this, you know, it's not a trumpet. It's, you know, it's not like a snuffleupagus or anything else. It's like this sound that is... It's like all the noses in the world's souls dying at once. Like
it's the harbinger.
Him blowing his noise. Yes, it's awful. It's awful. Like his nose is known amongst our circles. So there's my back history on it. Now continue with your story, Kent. Let's hear about this nuclear snot explosion.
Yeah, so it was amazing.
So yeah, so I had to sneeze, and this was like the worst production. I had nothing. I didn't have a Kleenex. I didn't have anything at all. But I sneezed, and this shit just went everywhere. And it was not like, you know, a clear, like, you know, healthy mucus. This was like you remember slime?
Like slime or slime?
Yeah, you remember like the old Masters of the Universe toys and you could get slime? Like, that's what it looked like. I had a can of that and just kind of.
You can't do that
it.
On television kind of stuff?
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah. It was absolutely horrible. And people still remember this
mess.
30 plus years ago.
Yeah.
30 plus years
oh, yeah.
Ago.
Very vividly.
Now, when this occurred, where were you in line, Kent?
Oh, shoot. Well, we already established
the front of the line, the back of the line.
My memory is not spot on. But I seem to remember that I was toward the end of the line. I don't know.
Okay. So everybody was in front of you. Like, there were people in your splatter range that could viably be afraid of the fallout of this occurrence.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a fallout.
Yeah, and I had it, like, all over my hands, and it got all over my shirt.
Yep.
I don't remember the fallout from
Charlie.
If I had to, like,
Charlie,
go to
where were you at in relation to Kent?
I was right next to him because I saw the whole thing going down.
So you're patient zero of the nuclear fallout.
I did not get infected though.
Sure.
I think I was careful enough not to infect anyone. At least I hope it was.
I'm pretty sure he only got it all on himself.
Yeah, I was pretty thoroughly contaminated myself.
Oh, man, that is awesome. That is awesome. Okay. Another point of reference, I believe Charlie is the one that gave my longtime on-and-off-again girlfriend in high school her nickname.
Ooh.
I did not give her that nickname.
Oh, it's time to clarify.
But you definitely proliferated it. Foofer.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Foofer.
We're talking about Jennifer Lynn Fell, a.k.a. Man. Foofer.
Maybe I did.
Oh my God.
I thought we weren't supposed to name names.
Now, as a point of clarification, I want to stress that Jen Fell was probably the best girlfriend I ever had prior to my fully adult life, which is would be like when I was 28. So...
No, Jen's a cool chick. She's really cool.
She really is awesome. She was an awesome girlfriend that nothing controversial there. I was just a complete dick when I was younger, so I'm glad that she's got her life together and
everybody,
she's amazing
everybody
now.
Started calling her Foof or Foofer.
Right.
And the first person I ever remember calling her that was you, Charlie. So for people that lack the reference...
I can't recall the root of that.
Well,
but I do remember the name.
To establish some point of reference here, Foofer was the name of a cartoon dog. It was like a blue poodle from the
80s. Oh, it was her hair.
Was it her hair?
It was her hair. Yeah.
That's right, because she did have the curly hair for a while.
That does make sense, yeah.
That'd be okay. Yeah. That was it.
It also explains her aversion to having big 80s hair later on.
She avoided that altogether.
She did. She's the only white girl I knew that wished she had straighter hair.
Well, then we nicknamed her little sister Fizzgig.
Oh my God, that was such an amazing summer too. Okay, so after I started dating Jen, like maybe the second time, I don't know, because we dated like four times or something.
At least.
After I started dating Jen, so Kent grew up literally two houses down, kind of catty corner, but still just two houses down from Jen. It worked out great for me because I could walk over to Kent's place or walk over to Jen's place, and whenever, you know, the fun ended there, I could just go to the other one. It was usually me going to Jen's place, and then once, you know, she had to go inside or whatever, then I would just go over to Kent's place and hang out in the tree.
Right.
Smoke cigarettes and hide from our parents. So, but it got to the point where during the summer, I think it was between between junior and senior year. Does that sound about right, Kent?
Probably.
Okay, because we were hanging out a lot over there. Because she lived right outside of Traffic Circle, which is always well lit, so we could always just hang out and BS and everything else. But anytime Jen came out, Michelle came out.
Oh, yeah. The little sister.
So one day, me and Kent, we may or may not have been intoxicated. We were watching The Dark Crystal. And this is at the time when Michelle had the big poofy hair. Like, she had... Like, she had just gotten a perm or something like that, and she, like, it was crazy. And we're watching the show, and that little dog's name is Fizzgig. Like, it's like all the time.
Jesus.
It just wouldn't shut up. So when we got done watching that, and then...
Michelle's cool, too, though. Hey, you know, no... You know, no disrespect intended. This is all for humor purposes. Love you.
Michelle is the younger sister of my high school girlfriend. I'm not sure her and I will ever see eye to eye. just by default.
She's shorter than you.
She's way shorter. Anyway, so we, like, right after watching that movie, we went over there and hung out with Jen, and of course Michelle came along, and Michelle was, like, all of in the business. She had the glasses, and she had the little snooty nose and everything. Like, it was a ridiculous likeness. And then Kent just looks over and goes, "Shut up, Fizzgig," and it was over. Like, that was her name from that point on.
Oh boy. God, the dumb shit.
Of course, once you're at the point of annoying where Kent tells you to shut up, something's gone way wrong.
It was all in good fun, though.
I mean, that was, sure, we were all
about
high school.
We were all about nicknames and creating jokes, and
yeah,
yeah. That was good times, man. You're making me nostalgic.
Oh
now.
Man. Oh, geez.
I didn't mean to hijack it with a nostalgia. Sorry about that.
Right? No, that's perfectly fine. That's awesome.
That's all. Yeah, that's all the show's about, man.
Yeah, part of the reason we wanted to have you on, man, because you can really add to our nostalgia fix here.
Yeah.
See, I'm sure I could. Yeah.
So Charlie, how was your week, man? What you got going on?
So we finished up the second week of school, so things are starting to calm down during the semester. It wasn't too bad. I've had worse weeks, I'll tell you that.
Now something we should do real quick, for the people that don't know, because me and you know Charlie, we need to establish Charlie's nerd cred, his geek cred. Okay.
Okay.
So first of all, he was, I don't know if he still does, but he used to be a big skater.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Running around with the shorts that were way too long and the shoes that were way too short.
That's the one.
Yeah.
running from the town marshal because you're not supposed to skate in the town square. Yeah.
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 Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened.
Laughing at David Urey for not skating.
Or laughing at Ryan Houston for taking a skateboard up the butt when he missed an ollie. That happened before.
That was bad.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Wow. Okay, so what is your official position now? Where do you work now?
I still work for Purdue. It's been 16 years now. I'm a systems administrator at the computer science department. Well, for the College of Science now.
See, so there we go.
That's pretty good.
And you've got Unix, Linux, Windows, Mac OS, pretty much all that shit under your belt, right?
I do Linux, Solaris, and mostly Mac OS stuff. I try to stay away from Windows, though.
Smart man.
Don't we all?
Well, I can, so I do.
Right. Right on.
All right. So, okay, that being said, man, let's get back into your story of how your week went.
It wasn't too bad. My title is Systems Administrator, but this past couple weeks I've basically been a glorified tech support because our tech support people really don't know enough about Mac OS to support it the way that they should. So it always falls on me to come back and fix the problems that they can't fix. So
I think that's the same thing you were telling me last time I was in Indiana.
It probably was. Yes.
Like these, not everything these is on their checklist.
Yeah.
No, no. No.
There we go. There's the problem. You need to write better checklist.
All right. There you go, yes. Charlie. Project for you. So, Amos, how was your week?
Man, so last week I mentioned that, I think I mentioned it, I had a hard drive fail that had all of my pictures on it. Like, all of them, from shit, 96, 97.
Oh, my God.
Every digital picture I've ever taken.
Wow.
It took about 2 weeks and several reattempts and some different maneuvering, but I think I finally reclaimed all of my photos. I might be missing a few, but I think most of them are. But now I have like 10 repeats or whatever in my Lightroom catalog. So now the process begins of eliminating the repeats. And I found some tools to help with that. But yeah, that's pretty much been the case. However, that's pretty frustrating. So I did take the hard drive and remove it from its case and officially end its tenure as a viable hard drive by way of a mallet, chisel, a couple of screwdrivers, a vise, and pretty much any other tool I could find and put my hands on. And let's just say that the NSA would have hard time getting shit off that hard drive.
Good for you. Good for you.
I pulled an Office Space on a fucking hard drive.
That's what I was about to say. This reminds me of that Office Space scene with the printer.
Back up in your ass with the resurrection.
Yeah, so exactly. So that was pretty much the crazy thing for my week. Other than that, man, it's just been busy, insanely busy. So, I do have a story to tell you off the air that we can't really share because of the repercussions of still being in the military that you'll find very humorous and annoying.
Okay, I'm sure there's plenty of those.
The problems you don't have anymore because you are officially retired, like officially retired.
Right, man. Just a couple of days ago, on the 1st, I am actually officially retired. I am no longer a member of the United States military or any other military.
What's that feel like?
Oh my God, man. Well, it was kind of nice.
Well, why don't you tell us, Charlie? You've been officially not a member of the U.S. military for like, I don't know, 40 years.
No, man, it's pretty nice, man, because it was really cool to have this couple of month period where I was still in the military technically, but not. So I got the, you know, experience that transition kind of slowly and get used to the idea. Because for the first few weeks of not going to work, man, it was the weirdest thing. Like, I didn't even know what to do with myself. And then I started getting used to it, and now I want to be retired for the rest of my life. It's pretty freaking awesome. But unfortunately,
you just got a new job.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to come to an end very, very soon. I've got about 2 weeks left of my retirement vacation.
Retirement?
Yeah. Because I just found out a couple of days ago that I did get hired to the job that I applied for. So I will be working for the government again starting in, like I said, in about just over 2 weeks, I'll be starting my job. So,
But see, I have a question to ask, man. This working for the government that you have, is it going to stop you from smoking weed?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Nah, no. See, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Well, it's not legal where I live anyway, so it's kind of, you know. So I haven't, it has been well over 20 years. Well, maybe not well over 20 years, but it's definitely been over 20 years since I've partaken in such substances.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's whatever. It's kind of the environment that I've been used to for the last 20 years. But as a civilian, I can keep this retirement all over my face. So that's a good thing. And the other cool thing is that they can't make me move. I can quit if I want.
Yeah.
You know, there's some advantages that come to that. So yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Ah, man.
So, but other than all of that job news type stuff, I brewed another beer last weekend.
Uh-oh.
You did your own?
Yeah, it was a kit. It was a kit. This one was a stout. It's an oak barrel aged stout. Well, obviously I'm not aging it myself in oak barrels.
Slacker.
But yeah. But but the
now that you're white people rich, you can go do that.
You can get your own oak barrel.
Right. In stages, brother. Because I'm doing the small batch kits right now. This is only my second one. Just to kind of get the idea of the science behind brewing and how it basically works, and starting to get the hang of it. Like I said, this is only my second kit.
So what you're saying is your beer brewing is still in beta.
Yes. Yeah. Just like this podcast. but I'm really looking forward to this one. The last one I did was an IPA, which was really good. Turned out really well, especially for a first attempt. I thought it was really good. The stout I'm really looking forward to. It smells delicious. It's actually in the closet right over here fermenting, and it smells delicious, and I cannot wait. So I might be bottling this weekend. It's either this weekend or later in the week because it seems like it's stopped bubbling. So I'm going to monitor that a little bit more, and then I might actually bottle this weekend. The cool thing that happened to me this week, it was really random and really cool. I had something that I had to mail, and I wanted to put a tracking number on it. So I actually went to the post office and stood in line so that I could do the priority mail thing. And
this would be a great segue into a stamps.com sponsorship if we had one.
Yeah. Well, hey, you guys that are listening, go ahead and tell your friends about this podcast so that we can get a few more listeners, and then maybe those listeners will go to ritualmisery.com and click on the Amazon link. That way we get a couple bucks from Amazon and we can start making some money, and then maybe
then,
start
then we can actually have real equipment.
I don't know, man.
You're white people rich now. You might be able to just sponsor this son of a bitch yourself.
I'm not getting paid.
Hey, man,
yet.
You can't say that too loud. They're all going to hear, and then they're never going to give you guys money.
Right? That's exactly right. No, I'm not.
Them crackers don't need any money.
Yeah. No. For what it's worth, I do. All right. I need the money.
That cracker does.
So regardless of why I was at the post office, I was at the post office, and the line was fairly long. This is like DMV. Lines, I think I was in line for about 30-40 minutes or something like that. So I get in line, and then an older gentleman gets in line right behind me, and me being the polite guy that I am, hey, how you doing? And he just started talking to me like we're old friends, and so he starts on this whole thing, hey, how you doing, man? Blah, blah, blah. And starts talking. And then he starts telling me his life story. And he was talking about growing up back east and all this kind of thing. And when he was 18, he left home to go do something else. I was like, oh, to join the Air Force, right? And he looks at me, he's like, how did you know that? He's wearing an Air Force veteran's hat. So this is when the guy in front of me jumped in the conversation. He looks back, he's like, oh man, he's psychic. That's how he knew. So this turned into a three-way conversation. And the older gentleman,
you're like, I just want to mail something.
Right. the older gentleman, he had this really intriguing life story, and he was telling me about his kids and about his time overseas in the military, during the Vietnam era and all of this kind of stuff. It was really, really fascinating. And then we're about three or four people back from it being our turn at the window, and he tells me about this book that he's writing. I'm like, oh yeah, that's really cool. He's like, well, I'm already a published author. If you just go to Amazon.com, you can see my books. I was like, what? Like, wow, that's really cool. So I looked him up, and the funny thing is, he didn't actually tell me his name, but because we were standing there so long, he was mailing a package, and we were standing there so long, and the package was just sitting there. I glanced over at the return address on it, and that's how I knew what his name was. So he told me the name of one of his books. So I looked up the name of the book, and there's several books with the same title, But how I knew that this was his book is because it was the name on the return address. So yeah, he's got like I think 3 books on Amazon. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. But yeah, it was like the coolest conversation, and he's the kind of guy that I almost invited him for coffee. Like I wanted to tell, like, hey man, let's, you know, I want to continue this conversation. Let's go have coffee later. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It was just one of those random encounters that was really neat. I treasure those, and I think everybody should treasure those random encounters. Be polite to the people around you. Start a conversation if you can, especially with the older population. These motherfuckers have more life experience than you can even imagine. They've got stories for days. 60 to 70% of those probably aren't true, but it doesn't fucking matter. They're based in knowledge that you don't have. So
they believe it.
You are going to be insanely fun to listen to when you get older with your shitty memory.
Oh, you're damn right. Oh, my God. I can't wait till I'm an old man.
Jesus.
Part of my retirement speech.
You're going to be on the podcast episode 3000 or something like that, and be sitting there talking about how you used to be on a podcast,
right?
Because you young whippersnappers,
you young whippersnappers don't know what podcasts were. Let me tell you about them.
But, oh, back man, in my day,
part of my retirement speech was talking about having the best stories in the VFW or whatever. And yeah, man, like these guys have amazing stories. That's what, you know, I really want to have a coffee with this guy and just hear some more of his stories, maybe even record some so that I can put them on the podcast with his permission.
So you can memorize them and use them as your own.
Yeah, I'll just make up my own.
If if you can get him to stay up late enough, you could have him on the show,
right?
Or maybe he's already up from his nap, you know. Whatever.
He might be. Or maybe maybe he had to get up to go to the bathroom, and he can't go back to sleep.
All right, man. So so all of us have listed some geeky things that we did this week. I backed the Contender, the game Joshua.
Jesus. Hold on.
Yeah,
I backed a different version of this game.
Justin Robert Young and several of his friends came out with a card game. It's kind of a political twist on Cards Against Humanity with a lot of twist, I guess. But yeah, I backed that. I was on the live stream during the last 2 hours of the Kickstarter and threw up a bunch of Photoshop shit that got a pretty good laugh. And I really enjoyed it. It was fun. So that was my geeky thing of the week. Really fucking geeky, not very productive. But hey, that's what it's about, right?
No, that's pretty cool. Speaking of Justin Robert Young, he's getting married tomorrow. And
life
as a shout out
over
to his wedding, and you know, he's got a big weekend at Dragon Con and all this kind of stuff. I bought a few days ago, I bought online a t-shirt that he designed that celebrates the Diamond Club. Well, it's a celebration of Diamond Club, and it's also a celebration of the NWO, the old school wrestling faction. And for the live viewers, I'll stand up and show the shirt. But Justin designed the shirt, and I'm wearing it kind of as a tribute to him tonight. You know, hey, buddy, if you ever listen to this, congratulations on your wedding tomorrow. Yeah, so that's it. Oh, and by the way, I also backed the Contender, but I didn't do the live stream. So
the proper phrase is middle class white people rich.
Middle class white people. Yeah.
Yes, middle class white people.
not upper echelon.
That's no.
All right,
no,
so
that's and the reason I know that, here, let's see if I can share this out real quick. Share screen. This one right here.
This makes really good audio, by the way.
It really does. there you go.
Wow. Oh yeah, there we go.
It's a parody of the Contender logo with the middle class white people rich cards, the game of political. So yeah, there you go. There's an example of one of the cards that I was making for him during the end of the broadcast.
Do you guys have an audience other than Cracker Ass Crackers watching this show?
Yeah,
we have a deeply varied audience. We We both of our listeners and watchers are amazing, and they're very different people. They watch and listen from different rooms in the same house. That makes them very different. They may or may not be twin brothers. We're not sure. definitely from Kentucky though. So we appreciate both of them.
Excellent.
Oh man. But yeah. All right. My geeky thing of the week. I finished watching Daredevil with my son Lucas, and oh my god, man! I raved about it. Not last week. Was it last week? No, it wasn't when Margaret was on. It was the week prior. I was raving about the show, but we actually finished it. And holy shit, Charlie, have you watched Daredevil yet? A Netflix.
I have not seen Daredevil yet. No.
Oh my god.
No.
So it's just you, Kent. You just have to sit there and bask in your own glory.
Like, it is so freaking good.
Like in second grade.
And it is one of those. it's one of those shows that just kind of it builds upon itself and it just gets better and better. Mm. Holy crap, man! It had such a strong ending. If you haven't watched, if you have Netflix and you haven't watched this, put it on your watch list. Like, do it. It is so good.
Got it.
That's all I got to say about that.
Now, how important is it to have been caught up on the rest of the Marvel Universe, Marvel Cinematic Universe, to watch and enjoy? / how much is it going to spoil if I watch Daredevil but I haven't watched all the movies? Like, where's the Venn diagram?
Okay,
Venn diagram?
the only thing that might be a spoiler at all, and this is like the tiniest of tiny spoilers, you occasionally see headlines or hear reference to the Battle of New York.
Okay.
That happened in the first Avengers movie.
Right.
That's it. There's no, like, here's what happened during the Battle of New York. There's none of that shit. There is absolutely no spoilers to any other MCU property or event or any of that stuff. But there is definitely a crossover. It establishes that it's in the same universe.
That's cool.
That's it. And it's...
So they do provide some nuggets then to get you to watch some of the other stuff then.
Right. If you've watched everything, and especially if you're an avid comic reader or at least a casual comic reader, you're going to catch references here and there that the casual viewer won't notice, but they're there.
How true to form is it?
Oh, it's... Dude, it's... From what I know of Daredevil, it's pretty right on. Obviously, they're going to change things, but I only read a handful of Daredevil comics when I was a kid. From what I remember, it's pretty right on. It's got Foggy in it. It's got Stick, Daredevil's mentor, Stick. He's in it.
That's the nickname I want. I want people to just start calling me Stick from now on.
I imagine there's a few different ways you could gain that nickname.
I mean, they're already calling me Dick. They might as well just call me Stick, you know? It's an amateur evolution.
But yeah, I'm really impressed with Vincent D'Onofrio's portrayal of Kingpin. Holy shit, man. Like, from my point of view, spot on from the comics. It is so good. It is just so good. Check it out.
All right, how about you, Charlie?
I really don't have a whole lot. I just work and then come home, and the geekiest thing I really did was change my own oil. I mean, that's it. That's all I can come up with.
That is so not geeky.
No, what about, not at all.
What about, I see a note in here about Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, the kids recently got Hyrule Warriors for the Wii U and started playing it. And if I am a Nintendo fanboy, like, to a T. I've had
always
have been, and my kids have fallen into that as well, pretty much by force. They don't really have a choice or not. So we got Hyrule Warriors, and it is a Zelda game that it's like Zelda in World of Warcraft. So it's a lot of fun. Nice. I've never played it before, and it's just a different way to play the game. So that was the big one for me.
Huh. So another tie back to things. Back when remember the Game Boy. Remember the Game Boy?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And when you opened the box on the Game Boy, it had three compartments. One had the Game Boy itself. One had the game Tetris, and underneath that, it had the initial four batteries that you got. And mm-hmm. just above that, it had this little package that had headphones in it. And they were the in-ear headphones like these right here.
Yep.
So Charlie, in his infinite wisdom, wanted the headphones, couldn't find them anywhere else, bought a Game Boy for it, sold me the Game Boy for half price so that he could have the headphones.
What?
I still have that Game Boy.
Nice! That's awesome!
And it still works. I can still play Tetris on it.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Wow.
I needed those headphones, man.
He spent $100 to get some headphones and sold me the Game Boy for like $50.
Those were $50 headphones. They were good quality headphones.
That is amazing.
Also, that he could listen to music and skate without having big ass headphones all over his ears.
Yeah, that too.
Wow.
All right, Kent. It is this time right here, man. It is this time. All right, so you watched Julie Burstein, Four mm-hmm. Lessons in Creativity. We actually both watched this last week in preparation for Margaret Weiss, and then decided that it just didn't come around to it. So why don't you give us a little rundown on that?
Okay, so basically, she gives us an idea about like the title says, Four Lessons in Creativity. Four things that can be inspiration for someone's creativity, whether it's writing or painting or what have you. And those four lessons are experience, challenge, limitations, and loss. It's a pretty interesting talk. If you're looking for inspiration, you want to be a more creative person, check it out. It's pretty cool. The one that really was a touchstone for me was loss. Loss being a source of inspiration, basically. And I've been known, not so much in the last year or two, but I've been known to write some poetry in my day. And one thing that always inspired me to write was loss. You know, something bad happened. Someone died, or a relationship ends, or something like that. And it's kind of one of those things where, you know, I always look for something good. And it illustrates that out of a bad thing, something good can come from it. And when people express their art through the filter of loss, it's a perfect illustration of that. Something bad happens, you make something good of it. And I'm not saying that my poetry was any good. I've never published it anywhere or even publicized it anywhere. But I think for me, the better words that I've put to paper have actually been inspired by a situation of loss. So she had some good points, and kind of makes you think, especially if you're a creative type or you want to be more creative. So yeah, check it out.
Cool. Me watching it, what I got out of it was, if you're not getting where you need to, where you feel you are content with your creativity, use your life's events, and instead of giving up, use those to channel a different direction.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what I got out of it. So, now, I kind of cheated this week. I didn't actually watch a TED Talk. What I did was revisit one. Roman Mars, he did one. We covered one maybe 2 months ago about flags, about city flags, and how they're just hideous and they're not designed very well.
Right.
He actually, the TED Talk was a podcast. He released it as a podcast, episode like 54 or something like that, I think. He's on, I don't know, almost 200 now or whatever. And it's part of the podcast called 99% Invisible. And I have been eating up this podcast like nobody's business. The presentation, the topics, they're off-the-wall topics. They're presented in a way that it gets not only experts, but people with genuine design knowledge and interesting points of view, all of that wrapped up. And I think the longest ones are like 18, 20 minutes long. I mean, it just wraps up really nicely. I can listen to three or four of them while I'm getting ready for work, you know. And they're very, very interesting. They bring up points that I wouldn't expect. And what gets me the most is if for no other reason than if you just need a moment of zen, listen to this podcast. Because Roman Mars' voice will calm you the fuck down. I guarantee it. It is. It's like instant calm. It's weird. His voice, it's just, it's, he starts out the podcast, you know, "This is 99% invisible. I'm Roman Mars." And from that point on, you just start calming down. Even if, I had some pretty bad days at work this week, and on my way home, just listen to the podcast, and it just, oh.
Right. Yeah. So, I can totally see that because I listened to that TED Talk however many months ago when you first mentioned it. Yeah, the dude is fascinating to listen to, and he absolutely has that calming effect in his voice.
Yeah, it's simply amazing.
For me, that voice is Garrison Keillor. If you listen to Garrison Keillor, then that's the
one. I can
one
see
just
that.
Like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the certain tone, the certain vocal structure that they have, and the way they intone the words and everything else is just, yeah, it's great. So I would recommend anybody go to 99% Invisible. That's all spelled out. Well, 99 numbers and then percent invisible spelled out. So 99%invisible.org. Give it a couple of podcasts to listen and see if you like it. It's almost like a TED Talk for every single one of them. It's just great.
He's on iTunes, right?
Yes, on iTunes. You can actually look it up, just 99PI, and he'll come up as like the second result. The first one will be a Wolfram Alpha, you know, pi to the 99th place.
Right on. I'll probably just search Roman Mars.
I'm sure you can do that too. I mean, come on. It just starts out with that. His name is Roman Mars. Come on. How kick-ass is that fucking name, man?
Oh, I would totally rock that name if that was mine.
No, you wouldn't. So, all right. So we got some other things we want to talk about today. Kent, TFA hype.
Yeah, okay. So TFA, The Force Awakens, the new Star Wars movie, Episode 7. Okay. Charlie, have you seen the trailers for this movie?
I have not seen a new one yet. I'm adverse to trailers because I don't want to ruin anything, so I typically stay away
from
trailers.
He's a spoiler purist. I like it.
Yeah, Jeff Cannata would say that you are unsullied. Jeff Cannata, a fellow podcaster, he calls himself unsullied because he stays away from trailers,
everything,
any movie hype at all. He wants to go in fresh, right, not even knowing what to expect.
Yeah, that's the same way CGP Grey does it. He doesn't want to know anything when he walks in. He wants to completely walk in fresh, no idea what it's about.
Yeah,
well, you know that burnt me though. With Jar Jar Binks, totally burnt me on that one. So,
what movie was that?
Episode 1.
He said Jar Jar Binks totally burnt him out.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
fuck the universal sign for what the fuck is Jar Jar Binks.
Oh my god!
Like you know when you're really hammered and your buddies are going, "Nah, man, nah, don't, nah, nah." Like, where was that guy when they were making Episode 1, watching it, being like, "Nah, nah, man, nah, don't do it, man,
don't
fucking go there, no."
Oh my god. Yeah, okay.
Like episode 1.
Sorry. Episode 1 missed that totally.
Yeah. Episode 1 missed the wingman. That's what happened.
No, Charlie, it's all good. It's all relevant.
Episode 1 needed a designated director and they didn't have one. They went out without a plan. That's what happened right there.
God, I'm really happy that J.J. Abrams was chosen to direct this, because I have a lot of faith in his movie making abilities, and I can't wait to see what he came up with. I did watch the teaser trailers, and they did exactly what they're designed to do. They didn't
turned
give away
an 8-year-old
much of anything, but they got me excited for these movies. I can't even tell you how many times I've watched these trailers. I watched them, like, I just watched one today again for probably like the 500th or so time. And it still had the same effect on me. Gave me chills up my spine with John Williams' music playing. I just oh my God, I'm so excited. But I tell you what, we're less than 3 months away from this movie. I don't want any more hype. I don't want another trailer. I don't want anything else. I want to be in that theater watching this movie without any other points of reference. The reason that I'm talking about this today is because today, or actually, well, yesterday,
a couple hours ago,
Saturday, was Force Friday, which was the massive toy release. A whole bunch of companies released a shitload of Star Wars toys today.
And, yeah, it's like the toy NDA was lifted today.
Oh, it yesterday. Was. Yeah. It's a crazy amount of toys. Now, I tell you what, there's a couple things that I thought were really cool from the handful of things that I saw. There is a BB-8 droid, which I apologize, Charlie, if you don't know who BB-8 is. It's like an R2 looking droid, except it has a round body, like a spherical body with an R2-D2 head. And the thing rolls, but the head stays on top, but the thing rolls. They used completely practical effects for this. There's no CGI with this droid. It is a practical effects thing. Cool. They made a miniature version that's a remote control toy that you control with your phone.
Wow.
The thing is cool as hell. It is like a miniature replica of the thing. It is absolutely cool as hell. And I was like, you know, I'd probably pay 10 or 20 bucks for this, knowing that it's going to be more. I'm thinking like 60 or 70 bucks probably. I'm not going to pay that. It's not worth that because I'm going to play with it for 20, 30 minutes, and then it's probably going to sit on the shelf. So 10 or 20 bucks, goddamn right I'm going to buy that thing because it's that cool. But it's not 60 or 70 bucks cool. $150. Yeah, not happening. The other toys that I thought were cool.
You aren't that white people rich.
No, I am not.
That is upper class white people rich right there. That is upper class white people rich.
But then, okay, so check this out. I have all these thoughts about that toy, right? Like, oh, fuck, no, $150, not happening. My Twitter feed today is blown up with all of these podcasters, Veronica Belmont, Jeff Cannata, Justin Robert Young, all these motherfuckers. The company sent them a free one in the mail today. Did they receive today?
Hold on, wait a second. Wait. You... In no question in my mind, you are without question the biggest Star Wars fan I have ever met in my entire life. I remember going over to your house and thinking, holy crap, I've never seen anything like this ever. And have you seen them all in the theater, right?
Except for the original release of the first movie, I didn't see in the theater because that came out the year that you and I were born. We were born in 1977.
Well, yeah, right.
Yeah, it came out in like May, so Kent wasn't even alive yet.
The first movie I ever saw in the theater was The Empire Strikes Back.
Yep.
Yes.
Same here. Yeah. That's actually my earliest memory.
Us all about it.
Oh, dude. Okay. You saw, I remember this. We were at church. You had seen Return of the Jedi in the theater before I had.
Mm-hmm.
We're like 6 or 7 years old. You had seen Return of the Jedi, and you were telling me all about these little teddy bear things that were riding.
And you were like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Now, like, a picture in my head was like these Care Bears.
Yeah.
These, like, brown Care Bears riding around.
Not far off.
Yeah, and it turns out I wasn't far off.
Okay. So maybe episode one wasn't the first time they needed a designated director that fucked up.
But I tell you what, I loved the Ewoks when I was a kid.
So
sorry to derail it, but how do you not get one of these things? How the hell do you not
It's $150 fucking dollars. That's how I don't
No, I mean for free.
It's a matter of fame. Oh, but okay. So the other toy that's really cool are these, you know, have you seen the new, I forgot the, damn it, I forgot the name of the company and I didn't write it down. But the new style remote control flying things that they're like super lightweight. They've got the fans on them and they fly. There's been plenty of helicopters, a few airplanes. I wish I could remember the name. If somebody in the, well, there's only one viewer in the chat besides us. See, this is why we need Chat Realm. Because Diamond Club typically has Chat Realm, and they can say, hey, look this up for me real quick. Well, anyway. So, anyway, there's a Millennium Falcon that has four fans inside of it, and it's remote control, and it can hover and fly and all this kind of shit. It looks badass. They also have an X-Wing, same company, and the fans are, instead of being, you know, blowing the air down, it blows the air forward, or, well, blows the air backwards so that the ship goes forward. But it's, so it's like basically a remote control airplane. The Falcon is basically a remote control helicopter. And, oh my God, these things look like so much fun to play with. They're about $125 a piece. Still too rich for my blood, but super awesome. The things that I'm not a big fan of are things like talking action figures. We're 3 months away from this movie coming out. The teasers haven't even had dialogue from these characters. I don't want to hear their lines. I haven't seen the movie yet. You know what I mean? There's no way I'm going to go into the store and pick these things up. However, I have one thing that I'm curious about. Two of the young actors that are in this movie, Daisy Ridley and John Boyega, I will admit I'd never heard of either one of them until I read about their involvement in Star Wars.
Well, literally nobody had ever heard of Daisy Ridley because she'd been in one episode of one show in Britain that didn't even get to BBC or some shit like that.
Right. Well, okay. So I've done absolutely zero research on these people other than reading their IMDb
the lack of resume. IMDb information.
Right. Well, their IMDb resume, basically. I didn't know that they were British. I saw on Twitter yesterday, I think it was, part of the Force Friday hype or whatever, they were at some toy store or something in London, and there was like a 10-second clip. I think it was probably uploaded to Instagram or something, where they were like, you know, hey, come down to the store and whatever, whatever. And then I heard their British accents. What? Holy shit. Like, I didn't even know. I had no idea, which is fine, but when you don't know whatever, you automatically default to your own dialect, your own language, whatever.
Right.
And so I always imagined in my head that they had an American accent. But they're British.
Which they may. They very well may in the movies.
Exactly. So now, my main curiosity
as Maisie Williams said, it's way easier for a British person to have an American accent than for an American person to have a British accent.
Right. Contrary to popular belief.
Yeah.
Dr. House, Hugh Lowry, has a perfect American accent, and people that have only watched House and knew nothing about Hugh Lowry
have no idea.
No idea.
Yeah,
the dude is British as fuck.
That's an interesting topic in and of itself. How he got on that show is just, you know, like he was filming something else. He decided, you know what, my agent's making me do this audition. So he didn't shave. He didn't clean up. He unbuttoned his shirt. He did a shitty American accent. Didn't do his hair or anything else. He gave a bunch of attitude. Like, he did not want the part. And then the producers in California are like, that's our motherfucker right there.
That's Dr. House! Yeah. Exactly. That is
like,
so
he
cool.
said he read the lines. He didn't even memorize the lines. He just read the lines straight from the script. And he did it with complete and absolute disdain.
That is perfect.
And
that is the character.
A lifetime
Dr.
role.
All right, my biggest area of interest with these movies is, do the characters that they play in the movie, do they have a British accent or do they have an American accent or something else? I don't know. That is such a big curiosity to me. I never think about that until now.
In the reboot, though, what about Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan? I mean, would you call that British accent?
I would call Obi-Wan a British accent because Ewan McGregor was mimicking Sir Alec Guinness, who's definitely British.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
No question. Yeah.
See, Qui-Gon, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway.
So I guess what I was trying to bring up, is there too much hype? Is there the right amount of hype? My fear is that, right now I think there's just the right amount of hype. We are just at the buzz point that we need to be for this movie, and then it needs to come out. My fear is, though, we have 3 months left of hype. I don't want that hype. Fuck that hype. Yeah, I don't.
They're
gonna
kill it.
I'm afraid by the time it comes out, it's just going to be like the hype train is already gone on.
No. There's no chance. This is the epitome of everything that the Disney hype machine does.
Yeah.
This hype does not stop until well after the movie's released. It is.
Right.
So
you're saying it's just going to go like this all the way, and then the movie's going to go, right?
The movie's going to come out. It's going to be at the pinnacle when the movie comes out. It's going to be at the ultimate hype. That's when they're going to have the frickin' McDonald's toys and all that other shit, and it's going to be insane. The movie's going to come out, and until the movie is no longer active in the theaters, like, a month later, 2 months later, it's going to maintain that same high hype level. And they're just going to barrage us with all kinds of shit up until that moment where it's finally like, okay, I'm ready to watch something else. Which is going to be
the machine that is Disney, right?
Yeah, which is going to be the World of Warcraft movie in February. I mean, seriously, though, that's what's going to happen because they're going to have to maintain it at that high level because next year we have some amazing movies coming out, Some movies that are going to attract a lot of people, namely the World of Warcraft movie.
Right. So, all right. So, Charlie, you're basically unsullied. Amos, you've seen all the trailers so far, right?
I have.
Did you see the Instagram one? It was like a 15-second clip.
I think I did.
It just came out like a week ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've watched all of these probably several hundred times each. And I can't, I'm addicted.
I've actually learned more about the plot and shit like that from Current Geek than anything else. So
my problem is, okay, another Star Wars trailer has come. There's going to be a full-length feature trailer. A full-length trailer. It's going to happen. I don't want it to. I don't want that trailer.
My guess is it's going to come out in the theaters first. It's going to be a surprise trailer, just like they like to do. It's going to be a surprise trailer, just the same way the Transformers was. Like, nobody had seen the trailer or anything else, and all of a sudden it just showed up in theaters one day.
Right, but
and then
the next
hit
day
online,
it's going to be on
the internet. The next week. Yeah, exactly.
But here's... go ahead.
I think that trailer is going to be aimed at the people that aren't already hyped up, that aren't eight-year-olds every time they see the shit, and it's going to be the one that's trying to grab the rest of the audience in. And that's going to be the one that you don't want to watch.
Right, but here's the problem. I'm going to watch it, and I'm probably going to watch it 750 times, and I'm going to single-frame analyze the whole damn thing.
Right.
Because I can't stop myself.
Right. And that is not Disney's problem. That is your problem, and you probably need to seek some help.
I have a problem. I don't want them to release
There is medication
trailers.
For you.
Damn it. anyway, so enough right, on that. So, enough Star
so
Wars.
So speaking of problems, let's get as far away from Disney as possible. Kermit's got a new girlfriend.
Oh, Kermit the Frog, the Muppet.
Yeah.
That's not
the
that
Muppet.
Far removed from Disney.
Also owned by Disney.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, don't they own that?
Okay, so I threw a couple links in there. Did you guys see these links?
I didn't click on the links that you put in there, but I had read something. I don't know if it was on CNN or maybe it was something in Twitter that I'd clicked on. But I read an article about the Kermit, Miss Piggy, Denise triangle thing.
Okay, so here's my thoughts on it real quick, all right? One, I find it very, very interesting, and I think George Carlin would have a fucking hell shit by the fact that Kermit dating someone else and releasing a press release. It is completely ridiculous. Like, what has American media devolved to? Meanwhile, right. I am completely interested in it.
Exactly. This is the Muppet Show hype train. This is not some random reporter reporting on this.
This is the Disney hype train going at it again. The whole hype machine. Yes.
Exactly.
So, okay. So now. So last night I'm at karaoke and it's pretty dead and there's, you know, because it's still early, so I start playing TV themes, you know, Laverne and Shirley, Cheers, yeah. You know, and I can see nice. People, like, there's maybe 15 people in the bar and they're kind of grooving along with it, you know, and then I play the Muppet Show and it starts out with the spoken word, and then it when that started going, yeah, everyone in the bar was singing along with it. Now, that show hasn't been on the air since, like, 82, you know? But everyone in the bar knew that damn song, and they were singing along with it. And there's several discussions on the old grumpy dudes in the balcony, and, you know, like, it was amazing. And so this is what I was thinking of, all right? A lot of people are saying, Kermit, how could you? You know, you just barely broke up with Miss Piggy, and now you're dating Denise and blah, 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 blah. I'm just saying, thinking, Kermit was never that into Miss Piggy to begin with. He was basically Stockholm syndromed into that relationship. Not to mention, she's been hoeing around on his ass the entire time. Like, since when did any semi-attractive guy say something to Miss Piggy and her and I go, oh? She never once said, stop it, I'm with Kermit.
Well, no, she was obviously a huge flirt.
Yeah, well, I don't even think it was that. I mean, because it was, like, to the exclusion of Kermit. I think she was just welcoming any fucking human dick she could, you know, and just going at it. And finally, Kermit got tired of it. Like, you know what? I'm done with you. Plus,
yeah, he was done being cuckolded.
Yeah, there's fucking hell with that, you know what I mean? Like, it's been 30 years or 32 years or some shit like that. You know, they got married in, like, 84, right? You know? It's like, come on. There's only so much a dude can handle before he's just like, you know what? You know, my slimy green fingers are going to a different pig. I'm just saying.
It is funny. Well, it's funny that Denise is, in fact, another pig.
Yeah, well, yeah. And it's really awesome. Okay, so there's a lot of people giving Kermit slack, and I love how we're personifying these Muppets, right? The people were given on Twitter and everything else, they were giving Kermit a bunch of slack because Denise looks like Miss Piggy
yes!
used to look.
Yes!
And I'm sitting there thinking, what dude doesn't want to upgrade to an earlier model of his favorite car? I mean... You know, this is the brand new version of the shit I've been driving for 30 years.
Oh my god. Oh shit. Exactly. Oh, in fact, when the first time I saw the picture of Kermit with Denise, I thought it was Miss Piggy with, like, a, you know, different makeup or something.
Right.
Maybe she went on a diet and new makeup, I don't know. Makeover. It was like made over Miss Piggy.
Puppet makeup, I love it.
You're talking about them like they're not real, Amos.
All right, Charlie. What are your thoughts on this whole thing, man?
I think it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, okay. So let's be honest.
Ridiculous that we're talking about these people that were personifying him, or ridiculous that he left Miss Piggy went for another pig.
Well, yes, the latter. Would Jim Henson let this happen? You know. But I guess he's not around, so it doesn't really fucking matter, does it?
Would Jim Henson welcome a divorce? I mean, these are not American.
Yes!
You know, I was going to say these are not American Christian values, but they kind of are. So
I don't think they were ever actually married. I think they're just they're probably common law married at this point.
They had an actual wedding ceremony in the second Muppets movie at the very end of movie. They are actually married.
Oh yeah. Shit! Yeah. Is that canon?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I wasn't aware. I thought they'd been dating for 30 years.
I love it that you said that she's cuckolded him.
Okay. Okay. So here is the actual press release. after the joint press release. After careful thought, thoughtful consideration, and considerable squabbling, we have made the difficult decision to terminate our romantic relationship, the estranged couple said. We will continue to work together on television and in all media now known or hereafter devised in perpetuity throughout the universe. However, our personal lives are now distinct and separate, and we will be seeing other people, frogs, pigs, et al. This is our only comment on this private matter. Unless we get the right offer. Thank you for your understanding.
Oh, my God. Unless we get the right offer.
Yeah, that is their actual joint statement right there.
Unless we get the right offer. That's the troubling part to me.
Well, because A&E is going to be all over this shit. Come on. VH1, VH1 behind the music? Come on.
Shit. You know, my favorite thing that Miss Piggy ever did was, Pigs in Space.
Yep.
My favorite thing Miss Piggy was ever associated with was bacon. I'm just saying. So there you go. There's our current news for this segment.
Hey, I still have a copy of the Star Wars episode of Muppets.
Yes,
so that was actually pretty cool.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! Yes, I've got a digital copy of that I pull out every now and then. Mark Hamill and all that. Oh, good shit. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure she hit on Mark Hamill in that episode.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
She hits on everybody. Miss Piggy was just, she was rooting around crotches looking for slop. That's all she was doing.
Jeez. She is a pig. Come on.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. Wow.
There we go.
Okay, so... Let's move on from this. Let's move on.
So, Charlie, Kate told me you were into this Ingress thing, man. This something I have no idea what it is. I didn't click the links. I figured I would just listen from you.
Okay, yeah,
tell us about Ingress, man.
So don't fuck it up. That's what I'm saying, man.
I'll try not to.
This is your one chance at a first impression.
It is. It's a global CTF game. When you walk around,
hold up. What's CTF?
Go from capture the flag.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Got it.
So, in different locations, in different towns, cities, you know, outside of towns, all over the world, there are these things called portals. For instance, when the game first started, they populated the game initially with post office and libraries and things like that. So you could go to a library, have your phone within proximity of the library, and you would be able to capture that portal for your team. There are two teams.
Now, you're talking augmented reality. So you physically
Absolutely.
Go to these real-life locations.
And that is correct.
Because your phone is connected to the internet, it uses your geolocation to access the server to show that you're at this location.
Yes.
And it has in-game ramifications.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly how it works. So basically it uses Google Maps and then has an overlay over Google Maps that shows you this in-game world that shows you where the locations are, the portals are. You capture the portals for your teams. And then what you do is you basically make what they call fields. So you connect any three portals together. You link them. It's called linking portals. When you connect three portals together, it creates a field, and that's how you score for your team. The cool thing is that this is going on all over the world. So wherever you live, you're in this cell. And the cell is, let's say 50 miles by 50 miles square. And that you score for your region wherever you live. You go outside your region and you score for that region, then that scores for that region. But what you do is you make a field, and the field is based on the population underneath that field. So if there's a lot of population, for instance, you could create, you guys know Benton County, it's pretty sparse, lots of farmland. If you make a field over Benton County, you don't get a whole lot of score for your team. But if you make
because
a smaller
it uses
field,
real life, because it uses real life is, population data.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. It's addicting. If you capture a portal, someone from the other team could come along, use their weapons to destroy that portal and then capture it for their team and do the same thing. So it's just like global. It's like a global CTF.
So I actually have played this.
You have.
As soon as you started talking about it, I started remembering it. But when I was playing it, I was at Dias, and there's only like three of us that were playing, and mm-hmm. we were all on the same team. So it didn't do anything for us. Like, oh, I just captured it from my teammate. Yay.
Yeah.
Got to the point where there were portals in the stupidest locations. Like, I just got kind of tired of it. So, But now that I'm over here in Korea, I think it might be something interesting to re-engage with.
Cool. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I started playing it, the week of Thanksgiving last year. So I've been playing it for just less than a year, and I would, get home an hour and a half late, and my wife would say, "You're out there playing that game, aren't you?" Yes, I was. And so she would give me so much crap for playing the game, and she started playing it just over 6 weeks ago and is just as addicted to it as I was.
So. That is nice. Awesome. That's the way, that's how you get your significant other off your back, is you get them into the same things.
Right.
And it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Just like geocaching.
Exactly.
It's very similar, the best
way to get people to shut up about geocaching is to take them geocaching.
Exactly. Have you geocached? Have you geocached, Charlie?
I have not yet. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun.
It's so much fun.
Okay, so I'm looking now, and I've got some level 4 portals around me. I've got cool. a level 3 character or being or essence or whatever. But yeah, I do not remember anything about how to play this damn game. I got a lot of blue dots around my shit. That's
you're on the right team. That's good.
So, Charlie, I know there's
only two teams, and you can't switch once you make your choice.
You can switch once, and that's it.
Mm.
But it takes a long time to switch, I guess.
So, Charlie, if Amos and I join the game as the same team as you, could we have an mm-hmm. effect on your game, your gameplay?
So, the way that works is each portal, when you go to a portal and you capture it for your team, you get a key for that portal. When you get the key to that portal, you are now able to go to another portal and make a link to it. So to link to a portal, you have to have a key to it. So in essence, what we could do is somehow coordinate where I would meet with you guys. I would give you keys for the area that I play out of, and you would give me keys for the area that you play out of. And what we could do is, if there's no links in the way from the other team, we could link a portal that you have, say, in New Mexico to a portal that I have here in Indiana, and then back to a portal that Amos has in Korea, and that would create a field. Now, that's a huge area to do, so there's a lot of complications and things like that in the way. But, I mean, in theory, you could do something like that.
Wow.
That would be a gigantic...
We did one... Yes, we did one last week that went from Wisconsin down to just west of Indianapolis and then up to eastern Michigan. So that was a pretty big thing, you know, nice. Three states wide. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. And the more area you control, the higher your score, basically.
That absolutely. That's how it works. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That sounds like so much fun.
I remember when I just reinstalled it just now. It was version 1.8 point blah 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 blah. And mm-hmm. when I played it originally was the week that it was released, and it was 1.0.1, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's tons of changes that I'd have to keep up with, but I'll probably get into it, just see what's up around here. I still need to do some geocaching around here too, because I don't have my international badge yet. Well, I guess I do. I don't have my Asia badge.
Yeah, you need to get that done.
Yeah. I've got my, I don't know, UAE and Kuwait badge.
Cool.
Yeah, well, you just need to do one in South Korea, and then you can get that badge. You can get two badges. You'll probably get South Korea and Asia continent.
I don't know. Well, I might already have one for Asia, depending on where they drew the lines for UAE and shit like that.
Good point.
I don't know if I have the Africa one or the Asia one or whatever.
Yeah, see, I didn't do any geocaching when I was deployed.
I didn't do any geocaching when I was in Korea the first time.
Or that.
It's because you're dumb.
Well, I didn't have a smartphone when I was there. That was kind of just, yeah.
I did. Whatever. Oh, man. So one hell of an episode we've had here. This has been fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Oh, this has been a blast, man. Thank you so much, Charlie, for coming on.
Next thing you know, Charlie's going to be doing his own podcast, and he's going to be trumping us and shit. So if you would like to start your own podcast, let us know. We'll get you on the Ritual Misery Network so we can all share in that
Absolutely.
Shit.
Absolutely.
If that happens, I will contact you.
Yeah, suddenly his episode 2 trumps our highest rated episode ever.
Yeah, our episode 41 or whatever.
Yeah, it was the one that Margaret was on last week. That was definitely our highest rated episode so far.
Cool. Yeah, actually. Anyway,
that went really well.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how much of just a nice person she is. And then I see all the pictures of her in Dragon Con this weekend. So
yeah. You know. Oh my God, I wish I was at Dragon Con right now.
Like why aren't you
so
there, dumbass?
Because I suck and I didn't plan it, and I didn't think. Because I thought I was going to be working at this point, or at least having obligations that to get me the job.
No,
and it turns out that I could have done it all remotely and been in the Atlanta area and been at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
God damn it! Oh, I would have been there so bad.
Yep.
I listened to that show. You guys were the biggest fanboys ever. It was ridiculous. But it was so cool how into it you guys were. I mean, it was really a good show. You guys did awesome on that one.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It was so much fun, man. It was.
I can't imagine.
We tried to fanboy out beforehand, and it just didn't.
It spilled. You know what I mean? Well, before we went live, we were like, "Oh my God, you're on our show! Oh my God, we love you! We've loved you since like eighth grade! Oh my God!" Okay, all right, game faces on. Right, game faces on. We're about to go live.
All right, we're live.
Oh my God! So some of that fanboy spilled into the actual show.
Yeah, and then
it was
then the
so
after
much
show,
worse before we went
the
live.
After show was that was so good. That was so good. Oh my God! Yeah. That was definitely really fucking cool. So we really loved having her on.
Yeah, and if you like that episode, in the coming weeks we're having scheduling issues at the moment, but we've got some other similarly situated folks slated to be guests on the show. They're just not hard scheduled yet, so we're still trying to work through that. But in the near future, expect some more shows similar to the
Speaking of schedules, this will probably be our new time. Like I think this is what's going to work out for us. We've gone from Wednesday night to Thursday mornings, now to Friday night, which is my Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
But at least for the foreseeable future, this will be our live term, you know what I mean? Shut up, people.
Our time slot.
Yes, screw you, hippies.
There.
So
pretty much, yeah. Yeah, because I start work in the next 2 weeks, which will preclude me from doing the AM shows, which is your PM.
Yeah. So. Now, since we're telling everybody this is our new schedule and this is where we're going to be at every week, we might as well let people know that for the next 2 weeks we're not going to be at this time slot.
Well, that kind of remains to be seen.
We may do an early one this next week. Kent may do one without me next week on this time slot, we'll definitely have one next week. It's just not sure exactly where, because I am flying back to Texas to visit my family for a week.
Right. So next week's show will probably be midweek, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm thinking.
Yep.
And then the following week will be Amos-less, I think.
Yeah.
It might be a solo show. It might be a guest co-host.
Maybe I'll con Charlie into coming back on.
Yeah, it's a possibility. We'll see.
You like how
happens.
I do that on the spot?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Not real sure how that's going to go, but there will definitely be a show in 2 weeks without Amos, but with me.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That remains to be seen.
Yeah. All right. This is the time when we give you the floor, Charlie. Any, with anything that you're doing that you want to pimp, or anything that you're just interested in that we didn't cover today, or?
No, not really. I was just glad to hang out and talk to you guys.
Yeah, it was really bitching. You are on Twitter, though, right?
I am on Twitter. I'm at Chuck E. Farley. Yeah, nothing really exciting going on there, though, so. No big deal.
So if you're listening to this podcast, go ahead and tweet out to Chuck E. Farley and tell him he needs to liven up his Twitter feed.
Make something
took the time
happen
to go
on
over
Chuck
there.
E. Farley.
Yeah.
Go post dick pics or something.
I can do that. I can make that work.
Funny story.
All right.
No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
All right. Whenever you are, if you want to support this show, and we hope that you do if you're listening, anytime that you're shopping on Amazon, instead of going to Amazon.com, just cruise on over to RitualMisery.com. Click on the Amazon banner right there in the right-hand side. It takes you to Amazon. Doesn't cost you anything extra, but they kick a little bit back to us for sending you over there. So, you know, if we can do that, that'd be really appreciated. Thank you to our guest, Mr. Charlie Foltz. It's been awesome having you on, man. It's really kick-ass. Like it a lot.
Thanks again, guys.
Kent, how can people follow you, man?
Obviously, you can go to Twitter and find me. At RM underscore Del Noche. I really need to change that. That is just such a tongue-twister thing to say. At RM underscore Del Noche. But that's what it is for now. Check me out. I'm fairly active on there. Also, if you're a beer guy like me, go to ratebeer.com, and you can check out username Del Noche, and you will see all the beers I've been rated. I actually rated a beer earlier today. I told Charlie in text earlier that I was reviewing a beer. The thing was delicious. You need to read my review. My review is stellar.
Well,
maybe, okay, maybe you, maybe you my words weren't stellar, but the beer was stellar. But I kind of like the way that I worded the review. So check it out.
All right.
And then you can learn what beer it was that I reviewed. Yeah, so those are the two main ways. There's other ways, but they're secret ways. Those are the two main publicly known ways. Follow me.
Wow, secret ways. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm comfortable
with
that, man.
What about you, Amos? Where are you at?
Oh, man, I'm doing so many things right now. It's, jeez. Last week we had a competition here in Pyeongtaek, Korea, and it was just awesome. We had 11 different comedians from Korea, Japan and America, and then like three from the base here, two from the base, that all competed in an international comedy competition over two nights. The winner won $500, and it was pretty good stuff. Those shows aren't up yet, but if you want to hear the precursors to those and catch them when they do come out, look up OLCC, that's O Lounge Comedy Cast on iTunes. And you'll catch up. Published a bunch of them the week leading up to the competition. Really, really funny stuff. The last show, this guy named Clint Knorr, he's touring around the States right now. He is hilarious. Yeah. He hung out with us. He partied with us after the show. He's a genuine good guy. He's got a great life story about addiction and falling from, you know, he had everything going for him at one time, and he got caught up in... it wasn't heroin, I don't think. I don't know. He got caught up in drugs and addiction and fell down really, really hard. His family picked him up, and he's using that. He's just like you were saying earlier, you know, in the creative ways. He's using that to really boost his comedy, and he's a funny motherfucker, man.
He is.
Very, very funny.
I listen to those shows. Yeah, he is legitimately really funny guy, and he does talk about his addiction, and it enhances his comedy. So that's making a good thing out of something bad. And, yeah, definitely check out that podcast. It is an explicit 18-plus comedy cast. Well, I don't know about 18-plus. Mature audiences, so you might be mature at 15. I don't know. But just know there are some adult subject matters in that. But, oh, my God, it is funny. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, and here's the let's see if I can get it to work here. I'm going to screen share again for the people that are actually watching. This is the cover art for the O Lounge Comedy Cast. So, yeah, very, very fun. Everything that I record up there, I put out on the podcast. There are some edits And some of the comedians don't want their whole thing showing, so, or posted on the podcast. So what I do is I take those shows, and the unedited full show versions are available as a patron only thing on our Patreon, ritualmisery.com, or patreon.com/ritualmisery. Cruise on over there. The slightest, a one penny per show donation gets you access to all the things we have on over there. So cruise on over to patreon.com, especially if you're already supporting other people on Patreon. Just throw us a penny. It won't even charge you for like 100 months or 100 shows or whatever.
Yeah, you don't get charged until your accumulated
at least
donation
$1.
Becomes a dollar. So if you give a penny a show, you're not even going to be charged for like forever.
Yeah.
But just go cruise on over there. Give us a penny. Show your support. It'll help us build up our notoriety, I guess.
It'll boost
our confidence. The more one penny patrons that we have will definitely boost our confidence. So, head on over there and join our Patreon, and you'll get access to all kinds of cool stuff that's coming in the future.
Yep, that's like I said, anything that we put out, we're going to put on there, including I'm going to give you a little something later about these videos here. Anyway, so that's the LCC, that's Patreon, that's all of our stuff. I'm Amos, Ethan Kane on Twitter, Ethan Kane. That's another show that we're, I don't know if we ever discussed how I got Ethan Kane. I think we do like little segments here and there.
But we're going to have an origin show at some point in the future. I don't know if it's going to be a patron only show or might be just a regular weekly show. I don't know, but we will have an origin show. We'll describe the, you know, our origin story, basically. Because we're comic book superheroes, if you didn't know.
Oh, well, yeah. Duh.
So our origin story will be explained in its entirety on future show. So stay tuned. Become a patron, because it might be Patreon only. Just saying. So donate your
payment. Or not. If you're into Twitter, you can follow the show at Ritual Misery. You can email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. You can find all these links and everything else we talk about in our show notes. It's going to be in the podcast notes and on the website, ritualmisery.com. Thank you so much for Kevin McLeod for allowing us to use the music. Thank you for listening or watching. For Kent, for Charlie, for me, and for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
This week we had Smitty, Chuck, my old coworker, the guy I had a game night with the other day. Oh shit, I didn't even talk about the game night. Fuck. That was pretty geeky. No. That was pretty goddamn geeky. Fuck.
But you didn't even mention it.
Damn it. Fuck. I had a pretty full week this week. Damn it. You know, so many weeks that I'm like, well, didn't really fucking
do shit. Didn't do a fucking thing.
Didn't do a goddamn thing.